From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, August 7th, 2012. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, executive editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, editor-in-chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
Those of us involved in making maps for the web spend a great deal of time gathering data, making sure it's up to date, building slick, engaging, and fast interfaces. But do we take time to look at how the maps are used? Some data from Denver highlights that what we put in our web maps may not exactly match what citizens want or need. We'll have a look at how citizens use that city's maps after a word from our sponsor.
National security, cyber warfare, energy independence. These are the topics of the first Geo Huntsville Conference that will be produced by Directions Magazine this November 8th and 9th in Huntsville, Alabama. Formerly the Rocket City Geospatial Conference, this regional event will draw a large audience of senior technologists from the defense industry and the business community. Find more information at www.geohuntsville.com and join us this November.
This week, Brian Timoney, over at his Map Brief blog, published a post called "How the Public Actually Uses Local Government Web Maps, Metrics from Denver." And in it, he cites a lot of what Denver learned about how its maps are used. Let me quote. Alan Glenn, head of the city's WebGIS team, has collected granular usage data that provides a fascinating glimpse into how the public actually uses maps. Starting last November, Denver's team started rolling out single-topic maps, for example, city parks, as embeddable widgets throughout the city's website as a complement to the more typical everything but the kitchen sink map portal. And what he lists are a number of observations based on that data. And we've both looked through the article, and I guess I want to start with you, Joe. What popped out at you as you looked down the results of this little study?
I thought it was interesting that the single topic map got three times the traffic of the traditional map portal. And from a GIS professional point of view, we're all probably scratching our heads going, well, why would that be the case? But from a typical citizen use, if you look at what you want to get out of a city government portal, what is it that you're looking for? Well, you come to the site, you look for something very specific, and you try to get the information that you need. So in the case that they pointed out, in particular, that people were looking for maps of parks, it made perfect sense. This is something where I want to know where a park is. I want to know what the facilities are at the park. And, you know, that's all they really needed to know. So although surprising to me, it certainly doesn't surprise this wouldn't be surprising from a citizen's point of view. So I think it was great that they actually were able to collect these stats.
Right, and I think you sort of hit the nail on the head, and that's that we've got two different perspectives on maps. We've got GIS professionals. We love maps. We love what we can do with the technology. We love to add in all the bells and whistles and all the different options and all the different data layers, and we think that's what applications should look like, in part because that's what our desktop GIS looks like. I'm guessing at that, but I believe we sort of come from that tradition that we have access to all this stuff and we want to give everybody else access to all this stuff. But if you go to the citizen, as you just suggested, they want the answer to a question. And I would go so far as to say they may not even want a map.
Yeah.
In some cases.
But you know what I found in reading the whole study was I'm not sure it's just indicative of a web mapping portal. I'm not so certain that it isn't indicative of how we use the net in general. I don't know if it's anything specific to a mapping portal, because if I'm looking for something on the web, one of the other statistics that was pointed out, that 60% of the searches come via a generic search engine. So, okay, that's exactly what I would do if I'm looking for something. I don't know if I would know the site to go to. And then secondly, you find the information, you spend very little time looking at it, and you get out. You leave the site.
The statistic on that is that the average visit time is 1 minute and 43 seconds.
Right.
So you visit the map, you get your answer, and gone.
And I can't say that that's any different than what we have found as publishers of a web portal that our readers want. They want to go. And from going a little deeper than that, and it's clearly the same case here in the case of web mapping, is they're not going any deeper. And we, from the publisher side, and I'm sure from the Denver government side, would say, hey, why don't you go deeper and find the kitchen sink? And if they're going, no, I only need this piece of information. Thanks very much. I'm not sure it's any different than what you would find in general usage of the web itself.
Right. And it sort of comes down to that. If you're looking for a piece of information and you key into your search engine, City of Denver Public Parks, and you get back a bunch of hits, one of them might be a map. One of them might be a page that has an embedded map. But you may or may not have been looking for a map. What you wanted was information. It may have been something, as you said, something as simple as, does this park have a water feature, fountain for the kids to play in, for example?
Right.
Maybe you know where the park is, you just don't know if it has a fountain. So the map may or may not be helpful. And I've done some thinking about this problem. I did a presentation a year or two ago, and I looked at the question, a very typical citizen question. When is trash day? Now, does the answer to that question require a map? And if it does it require an interactive web map? And what I found was quite a variety of ways to answer that question. Everything from text that said, well, from Cedar Street East and North Street South, trash day is on Wednesday. I mean, literally this narrative discussion of when trash day was. There were also a bunch of static maps, either in PDF or just a JPEG, that had the boundaries, and you know, red was Monday and blue was Tuesday. And so I think it's really valuable when governments think about putting web maps out there, go see how other jurisdictions are doing it, because it may not need to be as complicated as you're making it. Either by having an interactive map when maybe you don't need one, or by having a kitchen sink map when maybe you want a very focused map. Now, one of the things that I found particularly interesting in the data is that only 2% of the time did users change the default settings of the map. And that would be something like changing the base map from a street map to a satellite view or something. 2% of the time. And now, to be fair, you get that sort of for free if you use the Google Maps API and some of the APIs. But is it really something that you need to have in there? And is it worth making that one more option available if only 2% of the people even use it?
Yeah, that's a good point. It tells you that the sophistication of map users and the general public isn't what we expect it to be.
Is that what it tells you?
Let's look at it from a standpoint that I think we believe that the impact of Google Maps may be greater than it really is. Because when we go to Google Maps, or at least when I go to Google Maps, I love changing features, and I think I'd get more out of it if I'm looking at the area of interest from a different perspective. The general public probably could care less. I'll go back to my original statement. They'll get the information they need. They're not interested in playing with the map. They're not map lovers necessarily. Well, they got the information, they're fine.
Well, I think that's very sophisticated.
I don't know. It just doesn't seem to be that exciting.
I think that says that users are really sophisticated. They don't want to waste any time. They don't want to use any tools that aren't going to get them the answer to their question.
Right.
So yeah. Switching to satellite view, which I do not very often. I often do it when I want to know something like exactly where the parking lot is at the facility I'm going to. That's
right.
When I use it, because I can see where the parking lot is and where the trees are and so forth. But other than that, wow, if my goal is to figure out my driving directions and where I'm going, satellite view isn't very valuable to me. Again, I'm on a very specific quest to get a very specific set of information, and all these bells and whistles don't matter. And even changing from Google base map to an OpenStreetMap base map, back when Google first changed its data from being commercial data to its own data, I would do that because I didn't trust Google. I was doing a lot of checking. making sure. And now that things have gotten better with Google, I don't even do that anymore.
I mean, there's certain aspects of that. I think that that's true. You're fine with what you've got in your settings. You really don't need to fiddle around with the map. And people aren't into fiddling in general. As I said, you get the information, you move on. But the point is, I think from the developer's standpoint, they have some things available to them in the API that they would like to expose. And I don't think there's really any problem with that.
Well, and that really was the point of the first set of statistics that Brian shared. It was actually from Mecklenburg County, North Carolina. They wanted to determine how visitors use the Google API options that they provided in their maps, Street View, Traffic, Google Earth, and so forth. And what was the percentage there? Between 2.2% and 3.5%.
I would bet that Google is getting very similar statistics on the use of Google Maps itself. I would think it's just indicative of the usage of that. And maybe that's telling you something. Maybe there's not that much interest in satellite images or Street View. And maybe it's time that some of those options are for pay through Google Maps rather than for free. They spend an awful lot of money collecting that data, and of what use is it? Only very specific users, I think, find it particularly attractive. And the great example of Street View to me is, well, if I'm in a neighborhood and I'm looking to rent a house or buy a house, I think it's particularly valuable to the realtor section. But is it really a value to many other people? Wow, I would think it's hard to justify in many cases, unless they're going to monetize that Street View at some point. I have to think that Google is asking a lot of questions of itself of what investment it's made.
Well, I want to take that one step further, because now we're in this position with ESRI where you can tap into its online cloud solution for mapping ArcGIS online, and everything you do costs a couple of pennies via some credits. Well, if you remove all of that extraneous stuff that people don't use that much, you can save on your credits, can't you?
Yeah, sure.
So this may be a valuable study as people begin to implement that sort of a solution. Now, I want to sort of take this a little bit further and say, have government organizations in particular taken this information to heart, either from this study or previous ones or work that they've done? And I want to talk a little bit about my state, my Commonwealth, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And I've always been really pleased that it offers, through MassGIS, our state GIS organization, both the kitchen sink experience in a viewer called Oliver, and then a series of specialized maps. The problem is that the specialized maps aren't specialized and simplified enough, I think, for the general public. I mean, just the name is scary, okay? The name of the webpage that lists all the specialized maps from the state says, MassGIS Online Mapping, Specialized and Thematic Viewers. Now, you and I know what that means, right? Wow, the citizens? I don't know that they would know that this is where you look for maps of a specific topic. Maps about dams and watersheds and birds and butterflies and such.
Yeah.
And that sort of scares me. And then when you get to these maps, they're built off of that same viewer, which is awesome use of technology. But, wow, to find the data about the map of where the different birds live in Massachusetts, you have to know an awful lot of GIS-y kinds of things. So maybe these are still aimed at the GIS professional and not quite down to where are the parks like Denver has. But I really like the fact that you sort of get both options.
I did a survey just preparing for our podcast today, and I look back at my old hometown, I look at my current hometown, and a couple of other cities like Portland and Boston to see just how they expose the technology to average users. And I was, on the whole, fairly disappointed if I was looking for something specific for which a map would be useful. And like you, I saw some maps that were PDF and some maps that were kitchen sink, and it took me a while actually to roam and hunt and peck for the map of the Denver parks if I had just come as a straight visitor onto the Denver government website.
Which is not how most people get there, remember? They use a search engine.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't use a search engine. I went right to the homepage of the government, the city itself. It kind of verified the fact that if you're going to look for something as a map, yeah, your search engine is probably the best way to get there as opposed to trying to delve into the navigation side of each individual portal. And then if you got to the map that you were searching for, there wasn't a lot of help in terms of exposing the data that you wanted. And it really does go back to this question I think we talked about in the beginning, which is how do you expose the information that you want? Is it best to expose it on a map, or will a text description do just fine? Frankly, the way that different city governments exposed the data was, in fact, all over the map. It was difficult, I thought, in general. And so I was left with sort of a very disappointed feeling.
Well, it sounds like there's an awful lot to be learned from this data out of Denver for different levels of government. And to really think about, when do you need a map? And if you do need a map, what kind of a map do you need? And where do you put it? And how do you make it easy for the citizens to find it? That's all the time we have for today.
From us here at Directions, we'd like to know whether you're looking to ramp up your sales and close business faster, especially as the fall business season draws closer. Our geospatial webinars, a production of Directions Magazine and Earth Imaging Journal, have an average registration of over 500 attendees, making it an outstanding value. Our proven methodology has worked for clients such as Oracle, Google, Esri, Pitney Bowes, and many others. For more information, go to geospatialwebinars.com.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com. You can send us a tweet @directionsmag, or you can leave a comment where this podcast is hosted on Directions Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.